exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
The abilities that God has given us to begin to serve others, like Jesus, as Christ followers, has called us to not just receive his love, but to share his love. And the way we share his love is by serving people. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks. But today, I'm really excited because, as I mentioned earlier, we're starting this series that's really just designed to help you move to a new place in life. It's designed to help you take the next step in life. And I'm actually calling this series, as I mentioned earlier, Step by Step. And I actually think we got a graphic. I think we got it right there. Y'all make some noise for the media production team for putting it up on the screen, man. Step by Step. It's a brand new series that we're starting. I'm really excited about that. Some of you guys who kind of grew up in the 90s or had some type of 90s reference or relevancy, you probably immediately thought about the old school show that came on TGIF Fridays on ABC called Step by Step. And I'm sure if I were to get you guys to sing the song, you guys would probably sing it step by step, day by day. I don't know the rest of the words. That's some of you guys' story right there. You don't know all the words. But it was an awesome show, right? But my sermon series is not about the show. The show is canceled. It's gone. It's not coming back. But what God wants to do in your life is eternal. He wants to get you to take these steps in life that defy where you are, to get you to confront some things that maybe you've been ignoring, to get you to really face things that you may have been scared to kind of deal with. So the whole purpose of this series is just to get us moving in the direction that God wants us to move in. And this series is also kind of an in-depth look at kind of how we grow people in our church and how we disciple people in our church. In other words, disciple just simply means how we train people to be followers of Christ and how we empower them and equip them and teach them. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go make disciples, teach them everything that I've commanded you and everything that I've given you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so this is kind of just a very in-depth look at the process that we believe in taking people through in our church. And so over the next 5 weeks, that's going to be what we look at. We're going to look at four things that we do here at our church to help people move forward in their walk with God. And some of the things that I may share, they may sound a little familiar because you may have heard us mention them kind of in different spots and in different seasons in our church. But this series is the series where we kind of have it all packaged in one. And actually, after this series is done, you guys are going to start to see a lot of different materials all around the church building on Sunday mornings and even on our website. You're going to see a lot of the language that we use in our sermon series actually put on signs and different banners in our church, so that way you can begin to see the vision, not just hear it, but actually see it as well. So today, in part one of this series, just to really kick it off as a kind of an introductory message, I'm simply calling this series or this sermon Moving Forward. Moving Forward. Help me out. Tell the person beside you, it's time for you to move forward. We don't always do a lot of crowd participation, but I feel like today is a good point. Touch your neighbor, tell them move forward, right? It's time for you to move forward. And the reason why this is important is because I think a lot of times in life, we kind of just get to a point where we become very kind of stagnant and we become stuck. We kind of begin to settle. Even though we know what God is calling us to, and we kind of have some amazing goals, that we have some dreams that we believe that God has put on our heart. But the question is always, so why don't those dreams ever come to pass? You know, is it God's fault? Is God the reason why, you know, this goal didn't happen in my life? Or maybe, you know, the goal that I have wasn't really something that God put in my heart. Do believe that every idea that you and I come up with is not an idea from God. Like, sometimes it's just like waste of time thoughts. And sometimes the thoughts that we have and the ideas that we have, like, it's a good idea, but it's not a God idea. Right? It's a better idea, but it's not the best idea. And what God is really trying to get us to in this series, I believe, is to get us to move down the path that he has for us, is to get us to move forward. And so as I was kind of prepping this message of moving forward in this series, talking about taking these next steps, one of the first things that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking of something that we all could kind of understand this in, you guys have seen some of these commercials that advertise this device called a Fitbit. right? How many, just by show of hands, how many of you guys have seen it, kind of heard of it? Awesome. And so what I have on my wrist right here is actually a Fitbit. It's like the cheapest, not the cheapest one, but it's like kind of on a Fitbit on a budget. You know, I'm not balling like some of us where you got the big, humongous Fitbit where you can, like, see your reflection and see your car and, you know, unlock your doors or whatever like that. It doesn't exist. I'm just exaggerating. Some of you guys are like, oh, my gosh. But what I love about this Fitbit is that it actually tracks your steps. And it kind of gives you an idea of how close you're getting towards your goal, right? So if you set a goal of, I want to walk a mile a day, it actually calculates the number of steps that you have to take in order for you to be able to reach that goal, right? If you want to lose a certain number of pounds, it tells you how many calories you have to burn and then also how many steps you have to take in order to burn the certain number of calories so that way you can actually shed that pound. But more than anything else, the Fitbit, what it shows is that every goal accomplished always starts with one step. Like, you can't shed a calorie, you can't shed a pound, you can't achieve a mile or 2 miles for that matter without first taking a step. And that's what I want to talk about today, is you taking a step. It's about laying a foundation and helping you understand why you need to move forward in life. Like, some of us have been, you know, stuck for some years in the same place that we're in, right? Like, we're just like in this eternal holding pattern where, you know, life just hasn't changed over the past 20 to 30 years or over the past 5 years. And you believe that God has greater for you, but for some reason you're not able to see the greater. But today I want us to understand that life is all about taking steps. And not just taking steps, but taking steps in the right direction. Because you can take the wrong steps and not be where God wants you to be. So today it's not just about taking steps. It's about taking steps in the right direction. And I believe that many of us here, like, we know that we should move forward. Like, we know that we're supposed to be taking steps and strides to be where God has called us to be. But for some reason, we aren't. And so I kind of came up with a list of things that keep us from moving forward. I actually think we have them on the screen. The first one is fear. I'm just afraid, right? I'm afraid to move forward. I'm afraid to take the next step because of what may happen to me. I'm afraid because of what may be the result of me taking this step. I'm just afraid. Some of us, it's failure. I tried that before. I took that step before. It didn't work. Matter of fact, I've taken it a number of times, and it hasn't led to anything. And so as a result of past failures, it's kind of paralyzed you from taking the step. Maybe it's rejection, because the last time you took a step forward, or the last time you did something incredible, or the last time you dreamed, or the last time you tried to go after what God had for you, people rejected you. People called you weird. People didn't agree with the decision that you made. And so as a result, you stopped pursuing what God wanted you to pursue, and you're now held hostage by their opinions. Maybe it's past mistakes. Maybe you disqualify yourself from being able to move forward in life because of things that you've done in life, things that you're ashamed of, things that have happened years ago that have now prevented you from being able to move forward. Maybe it's an excuse. Like, for some of us, it's not even any of that stuff. It's just an excuse, right? Like, why am I not able to move forward and be on time for stuff? Like, it's just an excuse. Like, oh man, well, you know, I was struggling with the bathroom. It ain't had nothing to do with no bathroom. It's an excuse. Just moving forward, right? Maybe it's hurt and pain. Like, just been hurt in the past. Pain, people that we gave our hearts to, they crushed it with their bare hands. And as a result of that, it's caused us to not want to move forward. Maybe it's cost. Oh, it's going to cost me too much. I can't do it. It's going to require too much of my energy. It's going to require too much of my finances. It's going to require too much of my attention. I don't know if I have that in me to give. I've given a lot before. Or maybe it's the proverbial waiting for the right moment, right? That's the one I've kind of oftentimes used. When are you going to do that? I mean, I'm just waiting for God. Right? You try to get real spiritual and blame God. God's like, you need to chill out with that. You don't have nothing to do with me, player. I'm waiting on you, right? But there's all these different reasons that we give for failing to take the step and to move forward in life. Taking steps requires us to leave things behind, to take hold of something that's much greater. So in other words, if you want the greater thing that God has for you, there's going to be some sacrifice that has to be made. It's going to cost you a little bit, right? So like going back to the Fitbit, like in order for you to be able to shed a certain number of pounds, you know, the sacrifice that's required working out multiple days during the week, eating right. Like, I just can't pray, God, help me lose weight. And I'm going to wake up in 10 hours, and it's a miracle. I've shredded these pounds in Jesus' name. And God is like, no, take your behind to the gym, get on a treadmill, lift the weights, stop eating at 2 o'clock in the morning, going to Wendy's, getting a burger, and then asking me to perform a miracle. Right? So it's like, we get an idea of this thing that God wants us to do, but then God gives us the idea of the steps that we got to take, and it's like, I don't want to do it. And I believe that many of us are right at the line of taking that step. Like, I believe you're closer to what God wants to do in your life maybe than you've ever been before, but he's waiting for you to take the step, to move forward. I want to read a scripture out of the Bible, obviously. The Bible is filled with countless people that God called to take steps of faith forward. It's filled with people who took steps of faith. Like, that's what taking a step is all about. It's taking a step of faith. That's what it comes down to. It's me trusting what God has said versus what I see. Me trusting what God has said about me versus what others say about me. Me trusting not how I feel, but what my faith informs me to do. So I want to read a scripture out of Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. Kind of hang with me here. I promise you that it's going to be worth it in the end. But in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' Jesus says, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.' God says, 'Which ones?' Jesus replied, 'Don't murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All these I have kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' Jesus answered in verse 21, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me.' And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." I actually want to stop there. When the young man heard this, he went away. He went away. He went away from who? He went away from Jesus. Sad because he had great wealth. So in other words, Jesus essentially told the young man that he had to leave his life behind to take hold of the better life that Jesus wanted to give him. Matter of fact, as Jesus is kind of talking about this whole thing with relationship with him and salvation, this whole thing has nothing to do, salvation has nothing to do with what you and I do for God. Salvation has everything to do with what God has done for us. So even when Jesus is telling him, do this, do that, do this, Jesus is really saying, like, I'm trying to help you understand that you're not as good as you think you are. That you need me. That you can't inherit or experience eternal life or a relationship with God the Father on your own. It doesn't happen by works. It happens by faith. That's what it's all about. But what happens here is also something that's interesting, because the young man, he walks away from Jesus. He didn't want to take the next step. He didn't want to sacrifice. He didn't want to give up his way of life so he could get something that's much greater than life. No, he didn't want to take the step. How many of us are like this young man or have been like this young man? Well, we've walked away from Jesus because we didn't want to take the next step. Now, granted, I get it. Some of us in here, we're believers, we're Christians, we're Christ followers. We've trusted in God for our salvation through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. You've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All that's happened. But there's been times in your life where you have intentionally forsaken the will of God because you didn't want to let go of the things that were most comfortable for you. You don't want to sacrifice. Right? You've been the rich young ruler. I've been him plenty of times. Well, I knew the very thing that God was calling me to, but didn't want to sacrifice. And God is like, man, I have something so much greater for you on the other side of that step of faith, but I'm never going to let you experience it. I'm not going to give it to you until you take the step of faith. Like, many of us are asking God, God, can you give me this? But we don't want to give him anything in return. That's what happens here with this rich young man. He couldn't experience God's best for his life because he wouldn't take the next step forward. He knew what he needed to do to move forward. He knew exactly what he needed to do. I believe many of us in here, you know exactly what you need to do. Like, I can't use the excuse, I'm still praying about it. No, God, been spoken to you. Been spoken to you. Matter of fact, you knew exactly what you needed to do before you actually needed to make the decision itself. You already had the idea. You already had this inkling. Right? Your conscience told you. It was really the Spirit of God at work in your life, leading you. He told you what you needed to do, right? Maybe it was forgive that person. Maybe it was reconcile with that person. Maybe it was make a commitment. Maybe it was make a sacrifice. You knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly what it was. But we didn't take the next step. And so this rich young man, he went away from Jesus because he didn't want to take the step. But I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Show you another story, the contrast, the difference between taking a step of faith or not taking a step of faith and taking a step of faith. Here's what the Hebrew writer of Hebrews 11 and 8 says. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And check this out, y'all. And he went out not knowing where he was going. I'm gonna read it again, just in case you missed it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, for some of us who don't really kind of have any idea of scripture and don't know who this guy Abraham is, Abraham is a big deal in the Bible because Abraham was made a promise by God that he would be the father of many nations, that the covenant promise of Jesus, who would eventually come and fulfill this promise as a result of what he promised Abraham back in Genesis, like Abraham is a living example of somebody who took a massive step of faith. Now I want to go to Genesis because I want to give us some context of what the Hebrew writer is saying here. So kind of turn these pages with me today. We're kind of moving all over the place. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4. Says this, now the Lord said to Abram, that's Abraham. Like later on, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Do you see what God is telling Abraham to do? Go from your country. In other words, leave your home, right? Leave your kindred, leave your family, leave your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his family member, went with him. So notice what's happening here. Abraham received this promise of God. The promise of God required that Abraham take a step of faith. To step away from or to step out or to walk out the very thing that God had called him to do. So let's contrast these two examples. Rich young ruler had specific instructions on what Jesus wanted him to do in order for him to experience God's best for his life. He walked away from Jesus. Abraham, who is called the father of faith in Scripture. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11 talks about all the biblical characters who took these massive steps of faith that really began to usher in the promise that God made, which was that Jesus would come and be the sacrifice for all of humanity so that way you wouldn't have to pay for your sins. By faith, you would trust in him for your salvation. So check this out, guys. If Abraham doesn't take this massive step of faith, how Jesus comes about to earth doesn't happen the way it did. His step of faith and obedience and in alignment with God's will ushered in everything else. I want us to understand that your step of faith doesn't just impact you. Your step of faith moving forward impacts your family, impacts your friends, impacts your neighbors, impacts your coworkers. It impacts everybody. And just because you may not see it immediately does not mean that God is not doing it. As a matter of fact, Abraham, scripture says, didn't even see the promise fulfilled because the promise was fulfilled when Jesus came, lived, died, and sinned a perfect life and resurrected on the third day. That was when God fulfilled that promise. Thousands and thousands of years later. In other words, the old church will say, he may not come when you want him, but he'll always be on time. That's what happened here. God keeps his promises. But you will never experience his promises unless you take a step of faith. Abraham experienced this inheritance of God. Let me tell you, Abraham right now is chilling with God, hanging out with God, mind blown by what God has done. Abraham didn't have a clue what God wanted to do. He just knew what God said. And what God said was calling him to move forward. What step is God calling you to take right now? Right? Like, I really hope the Holy Spirit is messing you up right now. I really do. I really hope he's just... I mean, like, giving you bubble guts right now, like convicting you like crazy. And he's, like, plastering right now a mental image of the very thing that he wants you to do. I really hope that that's happening right now in your mind. Because that's the step that he wants you to take. And he's saying, you've been putting it off so long. You've been waiting so long. And as a result of you waiting so long, you've been missing out on what I've been having for you for so long. Aren't you tired of running? Don't be like this guy named Jonah in the Bible who just kept running away from the call of God. And as a result, everything around him was crumbling. No, align yourself with the will and the word of God. God called Abraham to take a step of faith, and Abraham responded. He went out by faith and is now experiencing what God promised him long ago. Let me kind of put it in plain language, especially for those of us preteens and teenagers, middle school, high school students, that you are taking one of two steps. You are either taking a step towards the will of God, or you are taking a step away from the will of God. There is no in between. Even if you feel like you're in neutral right now and your life is not moving forward, it's because you're not moving forward towards God's will. There's no in between, right? There's no like halfway point. It's no like in the middle. No, it's either I'm moving towards God's will or I'm not. And if I'm not moving towards God's will, then that means I'm missing out on God's best. And my question that I want to ask us is, how much longer do you want to miss out on God's best for you? Or are you ready to really begin to take captive and to take hold of the promises that God has for your life? So in other words, you can come here week after week, hear me holler and preach and scream to you for 30 to 45 minutes, and then leave the same way you came in and leave a stale, miserable faith in life because you won't take the next step. Or you can say, today I'm taking the step, I'm following Jesus, I'm not turning back, I'm burning everything behind me to pursue what God has for me. That can be you. That can be your story. Question is, what do you want it to be? What do you want the narrative of your life to be? Taking the next step is not about knowing everything. It's about trusting God. Some of us say, if I knew what I was doing, or if I knew everything that God wanted me to do, then I would do it. That's not faith. No, that's called calculation. That doesn't require faith. Faith says, God, you've given me this burden. You've given me this call. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to trust you. I've shared numerous times to all of us in here today, that is how this church came about. Like when God gave us the vision and this idea, this burden to plant this church, it was like, what? You want us to what? Raise how much money? And where? We don't got no resources. We ain't got no people. We got an infant right now. You want us to what? Leave your job? Leave our job? What? You serious? How are we going to eat? Seriously, here we are almost 2 years later, and you're beginning to see. You're a part of the narrative that started with a step of faith. Like, you wouldn't be here today in this building if a step of faith was not taken. And what I'm calling us to do is to trust God and to take the next step. What you stand to gain by taking the next step in your life is greater than what you stand to lose. For some of us, that's kind of the hang up for us. Like, we're focused so much on what we're gonna lose. And God is like, man, if you knew how much I wanted to give you, you would leave that thing behind with a quickness, all right? Like, if you knew that I had a better relationship for you that I've ordained, you would leave that joker in a heartbeat. Bye, Felicia. Right, you would do that quick. Peace, I'm gone. God's got greater for me. But because you are just so bent on being with this person who does not build you up, but tears you down, who is not faithful to you, who does not express my love, you would rather stay there in this prison when I have so much for you. Now, for those of us who are married, I'm not saying go get a divorce. No, you need to stay faithful. That word is for some of us in here who are just dating people that God has not brought into our life. God is saying, I got so much for you. Many of us have been in a holding pattern in life for years. You want God to do this new thing. Like every year, it's always amazing. Like in January, we kind of always have these aspirations. Like, I believe, God, you're going to do a new thing. You're going to carve out streams of water in desert places and dry places. And God's like, are you going to take a step of faith this year? Because we've been talking about this for the past 10 years. You done came to me with the same conversation December 31st of every year. By the end of February, it's like nothing's happened. When are you going to take a step of faith? When are you going to trust him? Like, I get the fact that it's uncomfortable. It's supposed to be. That's how you know it's a step of faith. I get the fact that you don't know how it's going to work out. That's the point. I get the fact that you don't know how things will take place in your life. I get it, but it's a step of faith. And if you're trusting God's word, scripture says that his word does not return void. If God said it, that settles it. That's it. If God said it, it's going to happen. What is the step of faith that God is calling you to do? To move forward. Some of us think we've moved forward in life. Well, I moved forward. No, you've moved on. Moving on is not the same, and moving forward, they are not the same things. Not at all. Like, moving on says, I'm going to allow what happened to me to define my life. Moving forward says, in spite of what's happened to me, God's grace is sufficient to heal my wound, and I won't be denied by what happened to me, but I'll be defined by what Jesus did for me. So I'm moving forward. Like many of us in here, like, we have relationships with people, and you're like, you know what? I'm moving forward. Matter of fact, you only use that language. That's how you know you ain't moved forward. You say what? I'm moving on. Moving on and moving forward aren't the same thing, guys. Moving on says that I'm leaving this place or I'm not dealing with this, even though the door is still wide open. Moving forward says I've brought closure to this thing and I'm pursuing what God has for me. See the difference? God's calling you to move forward. That means it's time for you to say no to some things so that way you can say yes to the right things. That means it's time for you to begin to pursue what God has for you. God is calling us all on a journey with himself, but we have to be willing to take the next step. God has so much more for your life than you can imagine, but you'll never see it if you don't take the next step. And if it sounds like I'm being very repetitive, it is intentionally repetitive because this is the very thing that could change the trajectory of your life. Are you sick and tired of living second class in the will of God? But are you ready to take hold of what God has for you? Take the step of faith. Move forward. God is calling us on a journey with himself. But we got to take the next step. How much more time has to be wasted saying what if? Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, what if I would have done that? Right? Like, what if I would have apologized? What if I would have reconciled? What if I would have shared Christ with that person? Right? Like, what if I would have done that? God's calling us to take the next step, man. And sometimes it is uncomfortable. I get it. It's a sacrifice. Most definitely. There's nothing that's attractive about it. Sacrifice is always messy. It's always costly. But when it is done for the glory of God, it always comes back twofold. In other words, more than you could ever imagine. So now the question is, how do I take the next step to be who God's called me to be? How do I move forward? That's what many of us are asking. I think many of us are right there. Like, you're like, I want to take the next step. I want to move and become who God has called me to be. I want to trust God in amazing ways. As a church, as believers in our body, in this local church, we're called to help people take next steps. That's why our church exists. And help people move forward. That's what discipleship is all about. Discipleship is not about information. There's a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible. Knowing information does not mean you have revelation. Having information does not equate with relationship. I knew a lot of, like, guys, I took Bible classes in college. I knew plenty of people who knew more of Scripture than I did, but they did not know Jesus. So do not be hoodwinked and bamboozled and thinking because you know a whole lot of Scripture that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That does not mean that at all. Not at all. Do not think that because you come to a church service that you have a relationship with God. It does not mean that at all. But as a church, we're called to help people take steps. We're called to disciple people. Here's kind of the steps that we're called to help people take. Here's the first one, if you're taking notes, it's to follow Jesus. We're called to help people follow Jesus. What do I mean by follow Jesus? We're called to help people put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Notice that I say, like, we're not called to help people come to church. Like, I love seeing a full building of people, but to me, that's hollow and shallow because if those people aren't spending eternity with Jesus, then it was like a waste of time. Like, we're called to help people follow Jesus. So this is why, like, we put so much effort and so much energy and so much prayer and so much time and so much resources into our local church so that way we can reach more people for Jesus. So that way we can help grow them in their relationship with Christ. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. In other words, following Jesus leads to life. Following Jesus leads to satisfaction. Here's the question I want to ask us today. Who are you following right now? Are you following yourself? Are you following the ways of this world? Are you following your spouse? Like, that sounds good and all. I'm following my spouse. If they ain't following Jesus, y'all gonna struggle. Follow Jesus. That's what he's called us to follow. He's called us to follow himself. You either follow Jesus or you forsake him. There's no in between. It's not like, oh, I'm kind of following. No, that means you're not. No, I'm following him or I'm not. Following him or not. Some of us, that's the next step that God is calling us to take, to follow Jesus, to give your life to Christ, to trust in him for your salvation, because that has not happened yet. Like, we've gone from church to church. We left the church because somebody said something we didn't like, or there was some music that was being sung there that we just didn't like. It wasn't our particular cup of tea. But in the meantime, you never said, man, I'm leaving this church because the gospel is not being properly preached and people don't know Jesus and people aren't finding. Like, very rarely do people leave churches because a lot of people are getting saved. You know how people leave churches? Because of preferences. I mean, you have a small percentage of people that leave because of hurt, but most often it's because of preferences. Very rarely do people ask questions like, man, are we leading people to Christ? Are people getting saved? Are people getting baptized? Are people trusting in Jesus for their salvation? We're called to help people follow Jesus. We're called to help people connect with community, to connect with community. In other words, you need some life-giving relationships in your life. You need Christ-centered relationships in your life. Let me ask you this question. Who are the closest people that you have right now to you? Once you identify those people, now, are they Christ followers or are they not? Let me give you the end game and how this ends. If they're not a Christ follower and you are a Christ follower, they are going to pull you down. But if they are Christ followers, they will, by default, build you up. I'm not saying don't be friends with sinners. Jesus was a friend with sinners. I'm a friend with people who doesn't know Christ. That's the only way they're going to know Christ. But I'm talking about the close people. The people that you open up your heart to, the people that you're most vulnerable with, those can't be people who don't know Jesus. Because when you need a word, I mean, what are they going to tell you? Man, just keep hope alive. Right? Like, seriously, you need people in your life who you can take the mask off with and say, hey, I'm struggling in my marriage. I need some help. You need people that you can take the mask off and be transparent and be honest with and confess your sin, knowing that they will share with you the grace of God, speak it over your life, you begin to rest in that grace, and you begin to experience freedom and healing. That's what the church is called to be. That's why we do small groups in our church, to create these small gatherings and small communities of people. By the way, if you're not in a small group, I guarantee you your life is not reaching the full potential and full peak that it could be. 100% guaranteed. Why? Because God never called us to do life alone. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Even if this is not your church and you are part of another church, you need to get in a Bible study. You need to get in something that connects you with community, because Sundays does not accomplish that. Like, this is kind of where it starts. This is not where it continues. You need to be in life-giving relationships. You need biblical community. Here's what James says in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. What does that imply? That people are connected to each other. That's why we're big on that here in our church. You got to be connected to community, man. You got to be in relationships with people. Let me tell you this. If you're the only one who knows your secrets, you're in trouble. I know that's not the word that we wanted to hear. If you're the only one who knows your struggles, you're in trouble. Serious trouble. Not because God is against you. No, because it's just a matter of time before the enemy pulls the carpet from up under you and you're headed for a fall. You need to get in community. You need to get in community and get in relationships with people where you can just be open and honest. Say, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I need some help. Don't make the excuse, well, I'm a shy person. I mean, is it worth your life? Is it worth it? Is it worth the stress? Is it worth the agony? It's always interesting because, like, people are kind of oftentimes hesitant towards jumping in small groups here at our church, but when they jump in them, they're like, man, this is awesome. Why didn't I do this before? Because this is what God has called us to do. We're called to help people discover purpose. I said follow Jesus, connect with community. Discover purpose. You have a purpose that God has for your life. Let me give us the Cliff Notes version. The purpose that he has for your life is not for you just to come in here and occupy a seat. I know you're probably going to hate me after this message because this is very straightforward. It's okay. I still love you. God didn't call you, like, Jesus didn't die for a seat. Jesus died for a person. And he has a purpose for every person on this planet. He wants to accomplish something amazing through your life. He has a purpose for your life. You know the one topic or the one section that just overflows with books in a bookstore? It's the meaning of life. How do I find my purpose? You want to know one of the most highest selling books of all time next to the Bible? You want to know what the name of it is? The Purpose Driven Life, written by a pastor out of California by the name of Rick Warren. It sold not as many copies as the Bible, but it's like second or third of all time. Why? Because people, us, we want to know what our purpose is. We want to know what our calling is. And so as the church, we're called to help people find out their purpose. And we have some specific ways in which we kind of do that. Matter of fact, one of the biggest ways we do that is through our growth track. So the thing that you hear me announce every week, the thing that you're seeing that bald-headed black guy, light-skinned on the screen talking about, growth track, he does a great job. His name is Travis. He's awesome. He's talking about growth track. Those are the things that we do here at our church to help people find out their purpose, to begin to help you move down the path that God wants you to move down. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has prepared a purpose for you. And it's not to sit in a seat on a Sunday morning. No, it's to get in the game and to begin to find out your gifts and abilities so you can do the next thing, which is to serve others. Our church is called to help people serve others. Serve others. God didn't give you a purpose to sit still, but to serve others. To serve others. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Use the gifts that God has given you, not for yourself, but to serve others. To serve others. God saved you and I not just so the fact that we can go to heaven, but so that way we could go share this glorious gospel, the good news of Christ, with other people. How do we do that in our church? Through the B team. People who serve, the people who lead in worship, the people who lead in small groups, the people who serve on our outreach team, the people who are back there in kids right now. Those are people who are serving, right? And many of us are trying to figure out, God, what is the next step that you want me to take? I just kind of gave you four basic ones. And many of us in here have only taken one. Your life is stalled out. You stopped. And by the way, like, this isn't just some list, like, once I've done this, I'm good. No, this is constant. I'm constantly following Jesus. I'm constantly connecting with community. I'm constantly discovering my purpose. Guys, like, I had no clue of what God had called me to do now, like 30 years ago or 20 years ago for that matter. This just came about like a few years ago. So as we follow Jesus, we're constantly finding out our purpose. And we're constantly serving others. This is the journey that God has called us to be on. To follow his son Jesus. To connect with his community. To discover our purpose in every season of life. For our life. And to use those gifts that he's given us to serve others. What steps has God been calling you to take? Maybe for some of us, the step he's calling you to take is to step away from sin. You've been living in sin for a long time. God's like, it's time for you to give it up. It's time to stop. It's killing you. It's robbing you. It's taking your life. There's no joy there. It feels good for the moment, but it's always fleeting. That's why you always run back to it. How about you try something that's eternal, that will always last? How about you take a sip of the water that I want to give you so that way you can drink from that and be eternally satisfied. How about that for a change? Maybe God is calling you to forgive that person who hurt you. Maybe that person that God is calling you to leave is the person that's been not building you up but tearing you down. Maybe God is calling us to start this business that's going to serve people in our community. Maybe God is calling us to make a big sacrifice for Jesus. Maybe for some of us, God is calling us to become a covenant member of this church. I don't know what it is, but God is calling us all to take a step. He's calling all of us to do it. And today needs to be the day where you begin to move forward in your life. And the only way that happens is by doing it God's way. I wish I had something more deep for you guys. But this actually, for many of us, is the deep. It's the deep. How do I know it's the deep? Because you won't step foot in it. Because you're scared of what may happen if you do. You want to stay on the shallow end? Fine. Be that person who watches everybody in the deep water, throwing the beach ball, throwing the basketball in the water. Man. They look like they're having so much fun. Why you just sit over there on the step, putting a toe in water? No, that can be you. That can be you. But it starts with you taking a step. Today needs to be the day where you take this first step. Let's just be honest, your way hasn't worked. I can speak from experience, guys. My way never works. It never works. The only thing that works is God's way, and you got to be willing to take the step of faith. The gospel of Jesus is God taking the step towards us, because on our own, we could never step towards him. I'm going to close with this. Worship team, you guys can come on up. Here's what I want to say in closing. Jesus stepped into time for us so that we could step into eternity with him. He stepped into time for us so that we could step into eternity with him. Here's what John 1:14 says, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus. He came. He stepped into time so that you and I could step into eternity. And for many of us here today, you haven't taken that step yet to give Christ your life. You haven't trusted him yet for your salvation. And today is the perfect day for you to do that. It's the perfect day for that to happen. We sang that song earlier, "Oh, Come to the Altar." That's really what it's focused on. Come to Jesus, man. Stop running your own race on your own. Stop doing life by yourself. Move forward. Take the step. Trust Jesus, man. I know you don't understand everything. You don't have to. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He's omniscient, which means he knows all things. That's comforting because it means you don't have to. All he's calling you and I to do is to trust him, is to take the step towards him. So I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. You are either the rich young ruler, or you can be like Abraham. You can either step away from what God is calling you to do by walking away from Jesus and what he's calling you to do, or you can go out into the deep and take the step of faith. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you know exactly what you need to do. I'm not going to make it easy on you. I'm not trying to convict you. I think the Holy Spirit is doing an excellent job of that. But whatever that step is that God is calling you to take, it's time for you to take it today. That's why this series is called Step by Step. The goal, journey that God has for you, it's a journey. And you walk this journey step by step. And today, you can take a massive step. So, I have two calls today that I want to extend. The first call is this. For those of us in here, you're already a Christ follower. You know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. But you know that there are some things right now in your life that you need to move on. You need to take a step. You need to launch out into the deep. You need to move forward. I don't know what it is. But it's time to stop making excuses. It's time to throw out all the reasons. And it's time to say, you know what, Jesus? Man, you got this thing. I'm going to trust you. If that's your desire, and you're saying, you know what, this is me. I need to take this step of faith today. You know exactly what it is. Could you do me a favor? Could you raise your hand just so I can pray for you right now? Awesome. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. Could you raise your hand if that's you? I'm taking a step of faith today. You know exactly what you need to do. Awesome. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person who has raised their hand, knows exactly what step they need to take, I pray that today they would take it. I pray that today would be the day that they stop making excuses, and today they would step out in faith, knowing that you have amazing things for their life, knowing that you want to accomplish good things through them. I pray that today that your boldness will be stronger in their life than it's ever been before. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your joy. Fill them with your strength in Jesus' name. And while every head is still bowed and every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you're saying, I need to give my life to Jesus, that's the step of faith I need to take. I've never trusted in him for my salvation. I thought my salvation was predicated based upon me coming to church. It is not. It's predicated based upon you believing what Christ did on the cross and through his resurrection. And if you're saying, that's me today, I want to trust in him. I want the eternal life that he gives me. I want the joy that he can give me. I want the fulfillment and the long suffering and the long joy that he can give me. I want that. But it only comes by me believing in him. If that's your desire today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat these words after me. It's a very simple commitment prayer. And it's just me articulating the words for you. Repeat these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave so that I could have a relationship with you. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for welcoming me to your family. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God has done this morning. Amen. Hey, do me a favor. Tell the person beside you it's time for you to take the next step. It's time for you to move forward. Take the next step. Move forward. Stop making excuses. Amen.